broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use continues. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January 19th in the year of our Lord, 2015, hour 2 at 2. Our goal always is to restore the Republic and the traditions of our founders. We believe in the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by our brilliant founders. Absolutely the solution to restore the proper role of limited government, ladies and gentlemen. Never revolution, but always restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Why do the founders have a revolution and we don't need one, you may ask? Because we have the blueprint they put forth. We can use the checks and balances put in place. Lowell Nelson, our guest, and Lowell's with campaignforliberty.org, and I wanted to keep him on. Normally we just have him for 1 hour, but I wanted to keep him on a little bit longer today because we gypped him out of a significant portion of his time. By introducing us to the Republic Broadcasting Team. Thanks for them, their support, and their being alongside with us. We appreciate them and all their listeners, so thank you very much indeed. We want to audit the Fed, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman Thomas Massie introduced H.R. 24. There's already 89-plus co-sponsors, and it's just got introduced. Senator Rand Paul will likely introduce a companion bill in the Senate. We hope he gets that done immediately. We talked about the annual Eagle Forum convention that took place last Saturday in Salt Lake City. We talked about the misguided arrogance of an Article 5 convention of states. States already have the authority, ladies and gentlemen, to nullify acts of the national legislature, opinions of the federal judiciary, and orders of the national executive. Whenever they're unconstitutional, states have an obligation to stand up and nullify now. Okay? States must simply get out of debt to the federal government so they can act like the sovereigns they were intended to be. Indeed, the states have an obligation, a duty to do so. Nullification of unconstitutional federal laws, orders, and rulings. That's the answer, Lowell Nelson.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. No principle of the Constitution was better understood 225 years ago, Sam, than the idea that the authority of the general government was strictly limited, enumerated, and defined. And therefore, any federal law, just like you said, any federal law, executive order, or judicial opinion that violates the Constitution is null and void and of no effect. And, you know, just like Madison wrote in Federalist Number 85, we may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislatures to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. So not only was that the expectation 225 years ago, but they felt that was the duty of the state legislatures to erect those barriers. And so the framers of the Constitution believed that states had the duty to arrest the growth of a national government that exceeded its proper authority.
And I know people are kind of going to say, Sam, how's that working for you, buddy? It isn't too well. Look at the states. They're nothing but puppets. My response is, on one hand, it feels like that's true. But remember, the wheels of justice grind quite slow. And you know what? People don't really want to just reject tyranny. They're pretty hesitant to throw off tyrannical, abusive government. And so it doesn't surprise me that it takes time. In fact, the American Revolution, people think it only took, you know, a few years, but really it was in the preparedness stage for 40 plus years before it ever even got off the ground. We need to understand the same principles are here. And as the federal government gets more and more and more out of line, there are states that are standing up. Not enough, not fast enough, I get that. But we've seen more action for nullification at the state level in the last 5 years than I've seen in the first 20 years of working on this stuff. So we really see a change, and I'm sure as the tyrannical behavior increases at a faster rate, the rejection thereof will do the same. And well, so I still think there's hope, Lowell.
Yes, and one case in point that's right in front of our faces about state nullification is, for example, the state of Colorado and other states. They're not the only one, but the state of Colorado has said that medical marijuana, the use of medical marijuana, is okay in the state of Colorado. And in fact, Utah also has adopted a similar thing. They call it a particular oil, which is derived from medical marijuana. That's okay in the state of Utah, in spite of the fact that the federal government, the national legislature, has outlawed the use of that plant. They say you do that, and we are going to throw you in jail. We're going to put you in a cage if you use that plant. Well, the state of Colorado and the state of Utah and other states around the country have effectively nullified that law of Congress by passing their own law, saying, look, we're going to do this. Now, in my opinion, and yours probably too, Sam, states don't have to pass a law saying we have permission to do this. I mean, state is sovereign, and therefore, a sovereign can decide to do what it wants to do despite what the federal authority says. But that's a modern-day example.
Yep, another modern-day example is there's several states that have constitutional carry on the books now as well.
Yeah. Yeah, in spite of the fact of the Gun Control Act of 1968, and so numerous examples today of state nullification of a tyrannical act of the national legislature or of the executive or of the judiciary. And so I think that, the Utah Eagle Forum is really big on family, really big on parental rights, and thankfully so, but they come short when I ask them, well, what are you going to do when the Supreme Court takes the case on the definition of marriage? They have recently agreed to do so. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
And so the Supreme Court is going to make a decision. And if they decide against the traditional definition of marriage, what's the state going to do? And no one will answer me. No one will tell me the right answer. The right answer is for the state simply to ignore whatever ruling.
Because if we believe that a few rogue thugs can decide everything, then there is no check and balance. There is no constitutional sovereignty. There's just merely robes deciding everything in a star chamber. And that's what we need to absolutely understand the founders never intended, sir.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Because the areas of authority given to the national government were few and defined. They are enumerated, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. And so marriage, divorce, health care, education, and similar topics were not areas of jurisdiction given to the national government. Those were reserved to the states or to the people, respectively. And Amendments 9 and 10 to the Constitution make that very clear, crystal clear. And so the ruling of the Supreme Court on prayer, way back in the 60s and 70s, their ruling on abortion. Abortion is a state issue; it's a domestic matter. All of these rulings like that are domestic or they're state matters, and states should be the ones to arbitrate those, not the federal Supreme Court.
Well, and land is at the heart of that. Utah's trying to stand up and basically get their lands back based upon this equal footing idea that, hey, when they were admitted as a state, the federal government has no authority of that land. It's not on the enumerated list, constitutionally speaking. Therefore, that battle's on. The time passed where the state of Utah said, give us our land back, and if you don't, the feds ignored them. The time frame has passed on that. Time will tell where it goes from here. But you're starting to see more and more evidence of states standing up and more friction. And as you do, either the country's going to break apart or the states are going to stand up and demand sovereignty. And it starts with money. And one of the great things that Utah's done is created the Sound Money Act, which means they can gold and silver constitutional currency. That's legal in the state of Utah now. So there's efforts being made. And one of the things people don't understand is you can't just make this happen overnight like a light switch. Okay, it's a dawning. It's an understanding. It's a preparation. You don't just declare your independence in a day. You got to put the groundwork in place. And constitutional carry is one great way. Nullifying federal laws, taking back land, creating the ability to now rely on constitutional money. All those things are virtually eventually turning into divorce papers unless the federal government begins to obey. And I know it feels like it's so slow, but I'm telling you that it's happening.
Right. In fact, Sam, people think of 1776 as the hour of revolution in the colonial America. Well, it turns out that the revolution actually occurred 10, 20, 30 years prior to that time, and it was a revolution in the minds of the people. Because they began thinking in terms of freedom and liberty and of independence. And see, the war that was fought was actually the natural result of the revolution that first occurred in the minds and hearts of the colonists. And so the reason I mention that is because the same thing is happening today. And so you're right, Sam. We must be patient with one another as the seeds of the proper role of state government begin to grow in the hearts and the minds of patriots and in those of legislators.
Got a quick break coming up. Hang tight, Lowell. We got to understand too. The state's not our savior. Either. In other words, you can't just replace the federal tyranny with a state tyranny. You got to be careful there. It's checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, the key to the exercise. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Sam Bushman live on your radio, Kirk Cosby on air as well. Our guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a great job as always. Nullify now is the answer. And, you know, the states have a duty to nullify. They have a duty to get out of debt to the federal government. They have a duty to reject unconstitutional orders of the national executive. They have an obligation, an absolute duty, to reject opinions of the federal judiciary that are unconstitutional, that violate sovereignty and the separation of powers. They have an absolute obligation to nullify acts of the legislature that, again, violate state sovereignty. States already have this authority to nullify, ladies and gentlemen. It was understood by the founders, and we need to bring back that understanding, to say the least. And right now, somebody's going to say to me, Sam, it's just slow. Come on, they're not doing enough fast enough. They're, you know, We're not even going to have elections in the future. The country's going to melt down. Ladies and gentlemen, America is a whole lot more powerful than you think it is. What I mean by that is it's a whole lot more, well, if they really could just destroy freedom this very second, they'd do it in a heartbeat and declare tyranny. The answer is they can't. It's a whole lot more robust, a whole lot more capable than we're giving it credit. And so we have some time. We've got to work on it. And as soon as a state finally decides the federal government can't deliver on funds or can't deliver on the promises, every time that happens, the states will start to stand up. And once they get off the dole, once they kind of break free of mommy and daddy kind of an idea, the federal government, parents, then all bets are off. And I know it seems slow now because that money is just so powerful of a control tactic. But I'm telling you, it's going to bust loose at some point, Lowell. States are going to start to realize they can get money from their citizens. They can run sovereign, independent governments. They can, and I'm telling you, once that money spigot starts to change and once the federal government can't deliver, things are going to change and it's going to happen rapidly. In the meantime, it's just a dance to determine what happens. But at some point, that's going to change.
Well, and I would encourage people to get out of debt themselves, their own family debt. I know for a long time, people were cursing government for being in so much debt, while at the same time running up their own debt and consumer debt, particularly credit card debt and so forth. And you know, it's hard for families to change habits, and yet that is what needs to happen. Families need to get out of debt. Cities need to get out of debt. Counties and states, and then finally our nation needs to get out of debt. I believe, Sam, that if there were enough families in the country who were not in debt, but instead were free and clear, then there would be a stronger feeling, a stronger sentiment among the citizenry to get their cities out of debt and their counties out of debt, and that feeling would bubble up to the point where we would refuse to use the fiat currency system that allows us to go deeper and deeper into debt, you know, never paying our debts off. It's a mentality, and so I pay tribute today, Sam, to families around the country who are getting out of debt, who are teaching morality and character in their homes and to their children and grandchildren, because as our framers so well understood, this country cannot exist in the absence of private morality. Our Constitution is not good for a country or for a people in the absence of public virtue and private morality. That's a key component of our constitutionally limited government. We must self-govern because we expect to be free to govern ourselves. And if we don't have the discipline and the internal character and the soul to govern ourselves as families, as individuals, as communities, then we are allowing a vacuum of power, and in comes the state with their solution, and they will govern us unless we stand up and govern ourselves. There can be no vacuum of power here, and so I applaud, I stand up and pay tribute to families across the nation who are doing the right thing, who are standing up for that which is just and true, and getting out of debt and not taking government subsidies, not stealing from their neighbors, homeschooling their children, owning their own means of production of food, and I just applaud these wonderful people all across the country who are doing these things because they are standing independent and not dependent on government. That is the recipe for liberty and for peace and for prosperity.
Amen to that. Now, they call this MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day, and I've got one statement to make about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King Jr. was an absolute dishonorable thug, sir.
You got that right.
All right, and the reason I bring that up is because, hey, you know, folks, we cannot have our heroes be those who want to destroy America. Look, Martin Luther King had communist money. He was basically a threat to the nation. Everywhere he went, he preached peace on one hand, but everywhere he went, violence broke out. By their fruits shall you know them. He was a womanizer to the nth degree. He was an abuser of women. In fact, the night before his assassination, he had multiple prostitutes in his hotel room. He beat up two out of the three of them. Okay, this guy was an absolute thug. and somehow we want to whitewash his character and suggest that he's for healing of America. He was absolutely a divider, so is Barack Obama. And I'm telling you right now, Martin Luther King was an absolute dishonorable thug. Do you want to finish on that note there, Lowell? We cannot have these fake whitewashed leaders if we really want the truth and to restore the principles that made this country great.
Well, and that's why we need to learn about the framers and founders of our country. I'm so pleased that I have an interest, and I wish this similar interest that on everybody to read the stories and the lives of the founders and framers, those who understood that public virtue begins with private virtue, and you cannot have liberty in the absence of private morality. One of the speakers at the convention, Andy Schlafly, talked about video games and how detrimental they are to society, and I agree with that, but he was wanting to make manufacturers of video games liable for the damage a person does out in the public square. And I said, heck, to myself, I said, we don't want that. It sounds really like making gun manufacturers liable for every accident that occurs with a handgun. You know, it's simply a tool. Video games are simply a tool. They can be used for good or for evil, and the answer is not to make manufacturers of these things liable, but it's to teach private and individual morality. That's the real solution, is a character and soul in our children and in our grandchildren. And so, again, I really think that's what we need to do.
Well, and Martin Luther King was an echoing of the modern-day Selma, that movie that just came out.
Uh-huh.
Modern-day echo of that Django Unchained movie where basically they want to create these racial tensions in America. And you know what? I believe in special privileges for none and equality for all. And if you're a good, honest person that believes in God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property, then you're a friend of mine. And if you're not, you're simply not. I don't care what color or race you are. And the reality is we need to learn to stand on principle and back issues of principle, before and against things based on moral law, moral compass, and principle. And it's not about people. It's about issues and principle, Lowell.
That's right. You know, one of the favorite tactics of the dark side is to create tension between the various classes of people, you know, black and white, bond and free, adults versus children, any way.
Male, female.
Yeah, male and female. Any way they can create angst between various classes of people, then they can swoop in with their governmental solutions, and they can regulate and impose their tyranny on people. And what we need to do is get along with one another, solve our own problems, and don't look to government for the solution.
Amen to that. Godspeed, Lowell Nelson, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. And just so you understand, campaignforliberty.org. Click on Utah to learn more about Lowell. Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rainfly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big! Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you take some time to thank Republic for carrying the broadcast. Would you please? I'd be grateful if you would. Kurt Crosby's with me. You there, sir?
Sam.
All right. Right here. There's Kurt Crosby, ladies and gentlemen. He's had to kind of remain silent while Lowell took center stage for a while. We appreciate Kurt's patience for that. What do you think about Martin Luther King Day, Kurt? My only statement about it is Martin Luther King Jr. was a dishonorable thug. Okay, and we run around and want to act like this guy's something awesome. He took communist money. Violence broke out virtually everywhere he went. He was very good at painting a great picture with his words in many cases. I have a dream, and man, we got to peacefully confront, and we got to do this and confront with love, and we got to, you know, he talked well, but his personal life was an absolute disaster. His public life was fueled by communist money. He was on the FBI's radar as a big problem. He was abusive and mean to women, and everywhere he went, violence eventually broke out, Kurt. And we need to be very careful who our heroes are.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Sam. And you know, it's a shame, in my opinion, that now, for example, we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but we don't really have time for George Washington. You know, it's all mixed into President's Day. So what we've done in in these days, in my opinion, is we're moving to make good, you know, as the scriptures say, in the last days, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. So we turned things around. Things are topsy-turvy. You know, I would suggest, I guess you could say, you know, even in the past, we've even found some good out of Bill Clinton, but try to find the good that you might take even from a guy like Martin Luther King. And then emphasize that and move forward with solutions. But there are a lot of people that are certainly, mixed up about the whole thing, right?
Yeah, either mixed up or they want to perpetuate the tyranny and create false heroes of, you know. In fact, there's a senator's husband that stands to profit big from the latest government deal. We saw that over the weekend, huh, Kurt?
Well, you're right. Senator Dianne Feinstein, I can't remember if she says she's the one that's going to cruise or if the other boxer that's going to cruise.
No, it's boxer's going to leave, Kurt.
Well, anyway, I sure hate to see him go. Some of my favorite senators. Anyway, Senator Barbara, or excuse me, Dianne Feinstein's husband is a guy named, well, Richard Blum. Now, I don't understand that. You know, I live in the world where, you know, your husband's name is, you know, the same as your name, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway.
But you don't understand the women's lib movement. You don't understand how powerful that buck or that whatever name is, right?
I know what you mean.
You don't understand how valuable of a name Feinstein is, Kurt.
Anyway, according to Richard Johnson of the New York Post, he says, ever wonder how lowly paid lawmakers leave office filthy rich? Well, Senator Dianne Feinstein is showing how it's done. He says the U.S. Postal Service plans to sell 56 buildings so it can lease space more expensively. Now, you know, I had to read that a couple of times, but it does make sense. It makes federal sense. Anyway, they're going to be leasing space more expensively than owning those buildings. And they say the real estate company of the California senator's husband, well, is set to pocket about $1 billion in commissions. So anyway, yeah, you know, that's how it works in Congress, huh, Sam?
Yeah, you know, when you say that's how it works, that's how we've allowed it to work.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is all you got to do is when Americans hear about this, they should turn Feinstein out next election and just say, you know what, we don't want your ilk here. We don't want people like you who just want to reward your husband on the back end and reward your family. Are you for liberty? Or are you for, you know, just enriching your own personal, you know, hey, why is this going on? She should be out on her ear for a conflict of interest, to say the least, Kurt.
Great point, Sam.
All right. Right, well, Disney's in the news, Kurt, for two reasons. Number one, I guess, who's the executive of Disney? Bob Iger?
Yeah, his name is Bob Iger. You know, I was unfamiliar with him. You know, I guess I'm just not keeping up on all the top executives.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Anyway, I guess he's doing okay. You know, it looks like he won't be on the soup line anytime too soon. They say is, well, what do they call it? In the world of big business, remuneration. Anyway, the cashola that he's bringing in is up a little bit from last year. Yeah, it's up 35.5%. They say, you know, all together when you add everything up, you know, the extra bucks he gets for travel, et cetera, it's going to add up to about $46.5 million. They say that means $2.5 million for salary, you know, so there's a few bonuses on top of that. You got $8.9 million in stock awards.
Yeah, he's kind of got a piddly old salary, doesn't he, Kurt?
He does. You know, that's where you want to watch him. You know, he'd be in the soup line for that. But anyway, you got $8.3 million in option awards, $22.8 million in non-equity incentives. Those are nice, I guess. $2.8 million change in pension value and $1.1 million in other compensation. That's for, like, you know, bubblegum and different stuff like that. Last category they say includes $391,411 for personal air travel and $614,852 for security. So anyway,
you know what, though, Kurt, I wouldn't even want that much money for personal air travel, because if I got that much money for personal air travel, somebody would want me to account for it, and I don't want to be traveling that much.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, don't worry. Anyway. He probably doesn't want to hang out at Disneyland. Because Disney's Bob Iger, if he were to hang out at Disneyland, Kurt, he might end up with a disease. Turns out that the measles outbreak that began at Disney, at Disneyland, is still spreading, Kurt. And they say folks that aren't vaccinated are getting measles, and there's breakouts all over the place. And it's Disneyland that's giving everybody the measles, Kurt. What do you think of that?
You know, I think the modern-day Disneyland is giving folks a lot of things they want to avoid, you know.
Just like, think, it's like well over $100 a ticket, Kurt, and you go there and get the measles.
Well, you know, it's kind of a new way of doing it. Back when you're a kid, you know, to get the measles, you know, if your neighbor had it, you know, you just send your kids over there. spend a little time, and they didn't even
No, Kurt, that's the chicken pox, not the measles, buddy. You're confused.
Oh,
come on.
Is that what that was? Wouldn't it have worked the same way for the measles, though?
Yeah, but they say the measles, Kurt, you're likely to die, Kurt.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's going to kill you. If it's not Al-Qaeda that gets you, buddy, it's the measles.
Good point.
Yeah, it's either Al-Qaeda or Disneyland will take you out, not sure which. Oh, and look at that. It's just crazy. All right. Well, Nate Thailand's got a new constitutional plan for you, Kurt.
Yeah, I'm, in many ways, a fan of Thailand. In fact, I want to go there and ride an elephant and things like that. And,
I want no part of it.
A fruit from the national fruit of Thailand, I think, is pretty fantastic. It's called mangosteen. But the
hold on, the fruit of Thailand has nothing to do with this story.
Well, I know, but it is there is some good in Thailand. But now the headline, according to Reuters,
I like Thai food. Does that count, Kurt?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
But anyway, they say Thailand is going to recognize third gender in new constitution. Charter drafting panel says that. Yeah. So anyway, I guess I was trying to see what they're going to call it.
I think they call it a shim, Kurt.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's a cross between a she and a him if you just call it a shim.
Oh, you know boy. Well, anyway, as they say, in the last days, good is called evil. Evil is called good.
Well, Kurt, you used to be able to look at the plumbing. You used to be able to look at the plumbing to figure out, now that won't work anymore, I guess, huh?
No, yeah, good point. No, you can't do that now. Yeah, it's a new world, Sam.
What are you going to do? Just ask them now? Hey, what's your gender?
No, well, in the at least we've been told you can really, rotate. I don't know what to say, but you can change that on the fly, can't you see?
Well, then what we need to do is have people wear like a sign on a lanyard around their neck that would like tell what gender they are today.
Yeah, boy.
You know what I mean?
Tell you what, it's a new world, Sam.
It would say, Kurt Cosby, I am male.
Yeah, and that means you're, of course, insensitive and uncaring.
You probably don't want to be that very long.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they'll look at your skin, they'll see white, they'll see that sign that says male, and they'll just be like, enemy.
Yeah.
Enemy on the spot.
Whatever,
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station. Thank RepublicBroadcasting.org for carrying the broadcast, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free.
its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Thailand to recognize third gender in their new constitution panel, I guess. I don't even know what that means. I don't know if you call them a shim, a he and a she, I don't know. She and a him, and weird stuff going on everywhere. MSNBC's in the news, Kurt Crosby, and they say MSNBC loses midterm elections. The story, believe it or not, I got it several weeks ago on USA Today. And it's fascinating because they bring up kind of an interesting point when we talk about the media. And it says this, is a vote against a political party also a vote against the network that supports that party? Believe it or not, the Democrats, quote, sinking fortunes have been pretty accurately charted in the declining ratings at MSNBC. They call it the party's house network, which culminated at the elections last year. Hey, they're losing viewership. They're losing money. MSNBC's problem is almost exactly the same as the Democrats' problem, they claim. Hey, everybody built their future around a hero who, well, turned out to be not too heroic. Anyway, the bottom line is they talk and talk and talk and talk. But see, to me, this is just some partisan play. The fact is the mainstream press is losing viewers, whether they be Republican hacks like Rush Limbaugh, whether they be Democratic hats like MSNBC. They're all losing viewership, Kurt, because Americans are sick of that game. They're done with that left-right manipulated paradigm of false reality. I don't think it's just MSNBC at all, Kurt.
Great point. Yeah, good point.
Like the mainstream press is going down as yesteryear media, and the new media is taking center stage. Those who don't fall for the left-right manipulated paradigm of deception, those who want liberty. It's a liberty versus tyranny discussion, not a left-right matter at all. And I think the sooner Americans understand that, the more the mainstream press will fail and melt down, and the more good, honest organizations like Liberty News Radio and Republic Broadcasting and many others start to continue to grow, I should say, and start to really become more mainstream as the mainstream folks continue to melt down. Any last thought on that, Kurt?
Yeah, it's, you know, at least the bottom line, you know, there's so many more options, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening or your learning. And, you know, we're proud to be part of that. We know that you have many choices, and we thank you for, well, making this choice.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what else strikes you in the news that we got to focus on today, Kurt?
Well, it looks like Senator Cruz was in South Carolina over the weekend. Now, you might wonder, well, why would he be in South Carolina? You know, they had a Tea Party event there. But also, by the way, just in case you were unaware of it, South Carolina holds the first, vote in the South. After Iowa and New Hampshire have their big shindigs for, you know, the presidential sweepstakes. So Mr. Cruz is, traveling around. Now, he says that you really shouldn't continue to support guys like Mitt Romney, John McCain, Bob Dole. You know, he said he called them good, honorable, and decent men. I don't know that I would have gone that far, but he says they weren't conservative enough, and they all lost their bids for the presidency. the writer says, well, yeah, what he's really saying is, you know, elect a guy like me. But he also had a little bit of words of suggestion when talking about the IRS, that they put the 100,000 plus IRS bureaucrats at the U.S.-Mexico border. Although he did say, I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. Now, they also at this event, Mr. Ben Carson was there. He offered the convention a long indictment of what he called a welfare state that has locked millions of Americans into poverty. He says, we've got to get the message to Americans that you're not a victim. By the way, Ben Carson says he'll decide by May 1 whether to run for president. Now, the author of this piece says he's never held public office, and I think maybe that's one of his strongest suits for running.
But hold on. That's what the mainstream press will like to attack him on, his lack of experience.
Yeah,
you know, they'll run down that rabbit hole as far as they can go. Do you think it'll be a Ted Cruz-Ben Carson combo for president? Ben might be president, Ted Cruz might be VP, or the opposite?
You know, I don't know, you know, at least a sub-headline to it. You know, if you didn't think there was enough guys already jumping into the fray, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, by the way, a senator there that was reelected last November, he said, you know, he's considering a presidential bid and exploring his viability beyond his home state. What he really means is, is there another way for me to make money? Maybe I can pretend like I'm a presidential candidate.
Yeah, is there a way for me to lord over people more than I already do? You know, kind of thing.
Well, you know, that's my reading.
But I couldn't vote for a Ben Carson, Ted Cruz plan, Kurt. I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ted Cruz isn't constitutionally qualified to be president, Kurt.
Well, I know this, that his mother was from America, but his father wasn't. You know, and I...
Where was he born, Kurt?
Yeah. Where was his father?
No, where was he born, Ted?
As far as I know, he was born in Canada.
All right.
You know, as far as I understand, the Constitution tells us, what is it? They've got to be a natural-born citizen.
That's right.
And what does that mean, Sam?
Well, you can debate it till the cows come home. That's what the whole discussion's about. But if you understand that the intent of the founders, it was to make sure that no one had any foreign allegiances. And if your father's from a different country, and if you were born in a different country, and you basically carried that foreign country citizenship for your whole life until you just recently tried to get rid of it so that it didn't stand as a stumbling block for you to run for president. See, he had a Canadian citizenship for a long time. The issue is foreign allegiance, Kurt.
Right, right. Good point.
And so if he's had a foreign citizenship for most of his life, and his father's from a different country, you think there'd be foreign allegiances there?
You know, it's difficult for me to say. All I can tell you is when you analyze guys like, for example, Mitt Romney and you know, John McCain, you know, who's supposed to be you know, great, you know, Americans, etc. Then I hear and see the things done by a guy like Ted Cruz. I think, well, if the great Americans are the Mitt Romneys and the, you know, Bob Dopes and the McCains, then I'm thinking, well, you know, sure looks like Mr. Ted Cruz beats them hand and foot, you know.
Yeah, except he's married to a banker from the Federal Reserve. That's of great concern. But let's take out the rhetoric for a second when the headline says Ted Cruz blisters Obama and the GOP establishment. Let's take out the rhetoric and really, what did Ted Cruz push for that you can hang your hat on that would restore the republic? Anything?
You know, of course I wasn't there, but I just read the article, and you know, he's speaking to the Tea Party, and
I understand. You know, but is there a concrete solution he has to restore the republic, to stand on constitutional principles, etc.? I mean, is there a single item that, hey, if we got that done, just think what it would accomplish?
You know, I got to say this. I don't really hear anybody that I can hear pretty much talking much about eliminating the IRS, and at least I hear that from Ted Cruz.
Is he saying that this time, that he's ready to abolish the IRS and he's putting a bill in the hopper to get that done?
Well, like you say, I didn't read the whole talk, and all I got was the AP report, which is pretty going to be pretty suspect, in my opinion.
I'll tell you what you can do. You can call old Ted, see if he wants to come on the air and talk about the abolition of the IRS, what we can do to help him get that done.
Well, I'll get him on the air right now, Stan.
Well, no, we'd have to schedule a time and stuff, Kurt. We're about out of time for this broadcast. Yeah. But I'm just telling you, if he's that serious about abolishing the IRS, we're here to help.
Yes, sir.
That's all I'm saying. We're here to help him get that done, and I think it'll be a worthy cause. You know, like one of the things that Ron Paul did when he was running for president, he had five agencies targeted for absolute abolishment or to completely get rid of. I support that kind of leadership, Kurt. And so, you know, I'd just like to, whenever I'm looking at somebody for president, I just want to know what unconstitutional government agencies they're ready to shut down immediately. Now, I think it was Rick Perry. He couldn't remember which ones he was going to abolish, right, Kurt?
Well, that's right. You needed to get Ron Paul's help on that.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm talking about. Is that I appreciate the rhetoric, and you know what? I appreciate a lot of what Ted Cruz has stood for.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to down that. But you know what? I want it to translate into some bold statements that really he would back with his efforts. Yep. And that is one thing I saw Ron Paul do. I mean, he laid out, hey, here's what I'd abolish given the chance. I will reduce my salary by 90% to see this come to fruition. I'll supply proper leadership to make these things literally happen. I've done my homework to where I can debate it with anybody on the planet. And if they find out or dig for the truth, they'll find out that I'm correct. Okay, I want to see that kind of leadership and that kind of example and that kind of stand up to the man, so to speak. I don't want to just hear, oh, we're going to abolish the IRS, and then we get elected and we don't talk about it anymore. Or, man, the IRS is really bad. We all know that rhetoric. But I want to see actual action towards those causes that one says they believe in. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, you can debate whether you believe Ted Cruz is constitutionally qualified or not. But my response is, why even put a man up for president that we have that question or debate about? Aren't there other leaders that we don't have those debates about that would be just as solid, if not more so? If so, shouldn't we back those candidates instead? Just saying. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Liberty Roundtable Live wraps it up. I know people will be like on pins and needles waiting for the next broadcast, huh? All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. You want to email me? I'd love to hear from you. Email Sam at LibertyRoundtable.com or Kurt, C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. Would love to hear from you. Turn any phone into a radio anytime, anywhere, any phone. Smile and dial 712-432-5339. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. LibertyRoundtable.com. You going to help? Hey, thanks.